Good morning, everyone. Happy Friday. I am Coach Lizzie, although it says I'm Corinne, so I'm going to rename myself here. Come on in. We are talking about how to plan your way down the scale today. And so let me just pull up my stuffs. We got our attendees, we got the chat. I am here solo today. So if you have a question, please type it into the Q&A. If you want to get coached, because this is a coaching call, I would love, love, love for you to raise your hand. If you're like, I don't know how to do that, look down at the bottom of Zoom and there's a little heart that says React. So look at that, click that little button, and it'll give you an opportunity to raise your hand. So I definitely want to get some of you on this call so we can do some coaching and so forth as we plan our way down the scale. Right on. Whitney's here. Monique is here. Annette, Kat, welcome, welcome, welcome. Like I said, I'm Coach Lizzie. I do private coaching and I do group coaching with our Goals Mastery program, and occasionally host a call like this and occasionally hop into Facebook and just all the things. I love, love, love that I get to support No BS women. And here we are on the last day of the month, which also happens to be a Friday. Love the symmetry of that. And we are kind of taking a moment to look at the month that was and look ahead at the month that is coming up. And so February was where we were focusing on how to love yourself, how to love yourself towards weight loss. And I love how next month, March's topic is all about journaling and how journaling can help you make progress in your weight loss. And that actually is going to tie into what we talk about today. And so how do we help set ourselves up for success for the month that's coming up? So you want to look at how did things go last month and then be like, okay, how do I want to pivot and adjust and iterate to focus on this coming month? So February is interesting because it's short, it's 28 days, and March is 31 days. So we've got even more time to gather up some wins and to make progress over the course of the next month, which is fantastic. And what's interesting about this call, the Plan Your Way Down the Scale call, is we've got the deep dive assessment, which I'm going to grab the link to. Nope, not that. Real quick. So I'm going to be showing that in my screen here in just a second. So there's the link to the deep dive assessment. But I want to do a little pivot, a little twist and on planning your way down the scale. Instead of planning our way down the scale for March, I would encourage you to focus your way down the scale. Right? Focus. And by the way, if you know that you want to get coached and you want to talk to me about like how can I get really focused on the one thing that's getting in my way for March, go ahead and raise your hand. Let's kind of get a line going so we know that we can get some coaching going. So here's how I want you to think about this. If you're thinking about like, okay, last month I did some things well, but I'm not sure, but how am I going to make progress in this coming month? Then the deep dive assessment can help you figure out where. And that may be something you need, but it may not be. You may already know the answer to this question I'm about to ask you. So I really want you to listen for this next question. If you could boil it down to one sentence, what is the main thing getting in the way of your weight loss? If you could boil it down, what is the main obstacle getting in the way of your weight loss? Do you know already? If you don't, that's totally okay. That's what the deep dive assessment's gonna help you with. And Karen, I love you, but telling yourself that I am the main obstacle in the way of my weight loss is actually not helpful because how do we work on this obstacle? We're not going to get rid of you. So I would encourage you to think about, all right, how about of the four basics, what is the main obstacle getting in the way of me doing my four basics? Or like, what is the main obstacle getting in the way of my weight loss? I have trouble stopping at enough. I end up with nighttime eating, or my sleep is just really off. What are the things that are getting in the way of your weight loss? So if you tell yourself like I just need to do harder, do better, that's not actually going to help you because show me somebody who is stuck and I will show you somebody who is trying to do the same things just harder. So we're not going to do that. So I want you to get a little bit more narrow on what is getting in the way of your weight loss? Stopping at enough, waiting for hunger? Is it nighttime eating? Is it restaurants? Is it travel? Those kind of just pick one. And the reason why I just want you to pick one is because sometimes weight loss can feel overwhelming. Like, I've got all this stuff. There's so many things. I've got so much to work on. So don't worry about that. Instead of all the things, let's make March, let's do this. Instead of making March about I'm doing all the things, let's make March about I'm doing the one thing that's actually going to make a difference for me. And before you ask, before you say, but how do I know which one? Anyone counts. There is no such thing as the right one. It's like asking, like, what's the right favorite color to have? It doesn't matter. It's the one that you want to work on. Because if you ask yourself, if I were to make measurable, tangible progress on this one thing over the next 31 days, would that make a difference in my weight loss? Pretty much just about any of the one things that you pick, if you made progress on it, yes, it would help you. So there is no perfect thing to help you. Excuse me, there is no perfect thing to choose to work on. We've got grab assing, water and sleep, fuck it eating. Yeah, Betty, I love that. Sleep. Amen. So good. Karen just said she iterated to like my thoughts around my enough. I like that. And we're going to talk about that. So in just a second, I'm going to put in a little framework into the chat, which, by the way, I finally moved my chat to everyone instead of host to panelists, which is why you couldn't see the link that I put in there the first time. So if you are typing into the chat and yours happens to be marked host and panelists, go ahead and mark that to everyone so we can all see your chat. But here is our five-step process to not just plan our way down the scale in March, but to focus our way down the scale in March. You ready? You ready? I think you're ready. Here we go. Number one, ask yourself, what is the main obstacle getting in the way of my weight loss? If I could only pick one, and it doesn't even have to be the main one. What is an obstacle? So pick one. Step number two, brainstorm a bunch of action steps that could help you make progress on this one thing. I want you to kind of have fun with it. If you were to experiment, how could I experiment with stopping at enough? You got like, well, there's the halftime method. I could serve myself a little less. I could just take a week and like gauge how do I feel at when I stopped eating. And then 20 minutes later, you could do a bite timer, all kinds of different things. Like brainstorm as many actions as you can think of. Heck, ask ChatGPT to help you with like, I'm trying to work on this one action, or excuse me, one obstacle. Give me 25 ideas of action steps I could take. And 2A, so the second step is brainstorm a bunch of actions. I want you to think about the mindset of over the month of March, the win, your progress is in the actions, is in doing the halftime method, is in taking time to gauge, am I at enough? Am I still hungry? The win is not necessarily, I stopped at enough 28 times out of 31. If you focus on the actions of like, how do I figure out if I've stopped it enough? Then the results will take care of themselves. Because that way you get to win all along the way rather than waiting to the end of the month and being like, well, this is my percentage. Data is amazing, but I want you to be able to feel like you're winning all along the way. So step one is what's the obstacle? Step two is brainstorm a bunch of actions. Step three, which Karen Brint just did a minute ago, is to go deeper. What are my mental stories about this thing? So what am I making it mean that stopping at enough is my challenge, my obstacle in weight loss? What is my story around stopping at enough? It could be, I don't want to stop at enough because it feels like deprivation. I don't want to stop at enough because it feels like this is my reward. Stopping at enough feels scary to me because what if I get hungry later? So whatever it is, just get curious about like, what is that sort of beneath the surface story that is going on, about this obstacle? Why is it an obstacle? What are my stories around it? So that was step three. And then step four is once you surface those stories, now we can work with it. This is such good news to surface the stories because now we're like, all right, now we can't, you can't fix something if you're not aware of it. We have become aware of it. Such a win. And so then we're going to pivot that story. And so if your story is, I don't want to stop it enough because I'm afraid I'll get hungry later. Okay, well, let's look at that. What if you get hungry later? Give your brain an answer. What will you do? What are your thoughts on hunger? Why is hunger not a problem? So you can work with that. And this is also a great opportunity. Once you surface your story and you're like, I don't know what to do with the story, it feels super true. Bring it to Ask Coaches. And you can bring it here and be like, Lizzie told me to like surface my stories. I found my story and now I don't know what to do. No problem. Ask Coaches. Here's what we do. So, and then the final step is to practice your new stories. And this is where journaling comes in. Journaling is a huge, huge help. Even if you simply just write down, my new story is hunger is not a problem. I am safe and I'll eat if I'm hungry. Just write that down once a day for the next 31 days. You don't think that'll make a difference in how you feel about hunger? I think it would. I think it would. So I am going to copy and paste those steps into the chat so you can see them. Did it work? Oh, it took away my numbers. Bugger. Oh, well. All right. So, real quick refresher. That was number one, what's the obstacle getting in the way of your weight loss? Number two, brainstorm a bunch of actions that would help you make progress on this one thing. Note, make doing the action the win, not the outcome. The outcome will take care of itself. Step three, go deeper. What's your story you're telling yourself about this obstacle? What are the stories? Step four, pivot those stories to something that serves you. And step five, practice. Let me give you an example about how I've been doing this. So I mentioned a minute ago that I do the Goals Mastery group coaching program, which has been amazing. Shout out to my Goals Mastery ladies. And in fact, I had a like an idea of like, oh, maybe I wonder if I could work on one of my goals during this and kind of go along with the ladies at the same time. And of course, my habit brain was like, hell no, that's a terrible idea because what if I fail? And like, I'm supposed to know stuff. And so I kind of like tossed the idea out there on the sly in one of my coaching sessions. And I was like, if anybody wants to encourage me, go ahead. Anyway, moving on. Well, wouldn't you know, shout out to Mary. She sent me a note and she encouraged me. And I was like, shit, now I got to do it. Damn it. And I got to tell you, it's been amazing. It's been really, really helpful. I have made progress very imperfectly. And I see negative stories popping up all the time, but it's been really, really helpful. And so here is what I've been working on. I've been working on drinking less alcohol, which is something that I've struggled with in the past, made lots of progress over the last several years, and there's more I'd like to make. So what I did was I made myself a list of various action steps I could take that would help me just become a little bit more aware of this habit and help me feel a little bit safer to have an urge for a glass of wine at 5 o'clock and just see. And so a handful of my action steps. So number one was I identified the obstacle. I want to drink less alcohol. Number two, brainstormed action steps. So I have a whole list of things I could try. I could try having a mint after, like around 5 o'clock, so that there's like a minty taste in my mouth, and mint and wine probably don't go too well together. I could journal on my thoughts. Usually that's in the morning, but like it's reflecting on the previous day. I could have tea while I'm cooking dinner instead of having a glass of wine. I could go for a walk after work to kind of help me kind of cool down from the day, like because, well, I'm going to get to my story in step three, but like, so I was looking for a pattern interrupt. I could go for a walk. And also, I could use some of the nervous system tools that Coach Kathy talks about, whether it's your hand on your heart, some VU breathing, some kind of grounding yourself in your senses, all kinds of various tools that you can use. And so what I did was over the last 4 weeks, I would get a check mark in my little tracker for doing one of the actions. So if I journaled, I got a check mark. If I drank tea, now I have two check marks. If I went for a walk, now I have three check marks. And so that allowed me to show up imperfectly, that on some days I did only one thing. On some days I did three or four things. And that the win was not whether or not I had a glass of wine. The win was, did I do an action that would help me tune into my thoughts and my senses around the obstacle that I'm trying to make progress on? And let me tell you, it was very imperfect progress. but it was progress. So then step three is I gotta surface my story. Let's go deeper. What's the story I tell myself about a glass of wine in the evening? Well, that was interesting because I realized that my story around a glass of wine is this is how I relax at night. This is my reward for working hard today. This is my reward for nothing today. I don't care. It does not matter what I did during the day. My brain is like, I deserve a reward. Does anybody give me an emoji, a thumbs up or a heart if like that resonates for you. If whether it's food or alcohol or whatever, that it does not matter. But at the end of the day, I'm like, I deserve a reward, right? Absolutely. And so that was really helpful for me to realize what was my brain telling me about this habit? Why does it want to hang on to this thing? Like, and boy, does my brain want to hang on to it. And so I can just, again, look at it with curiosity and be like, okay, that's interesting. I can see the story now. And so, yeah, Annette, I agree. We get rewards for breathing, for sure. High five for that one. And so pivot is step four. How do I pivot my story? And so this is where journaling really helped me a lot. And by the way, I am a card-carrying member of the like I am not a journaler club until it's shout out to my private client Pam, who helped me with like, you can give this a try. And I decided to challenge myself to do 60 days of journaling. Here's the very important part, not in a row. It was like 60 days cumulative. And I'm telling you, it's going to be like 4 months that it's going to take me to get 60 days, maybe even five. That's okay. Imperfect progress, team. At any rate, what happened was when I would sit down to journal, at first it was like, I don't know what to write, or this feels dumb, or, I self-judgment again, yada, yada, yada. But then I would begin to have like a lesson learned, like, oh, so something I realized and learned from yesterday was this. And over time, over the course of 4 weeks, I began to collect a couple of lessons learned. Thank you, Annette. I appreciate that. And so what I realized is that the reason, or excuse me, the way that I relax in the night is not from a glass of wine. It is the sitting down and intentionally slowing down and purposefully allowing myself to rest is what helps me feel relaxed, which I don't often give myself because once work is over, it's time to cook dinner, right? Give me an emoji if you're like, I don't actually have that time to rest. I got to go from the thing to the thing to the thing. And the food or the alcohol is what I kind of do in the meantime to kind of help me feel like I'm relaxing along the way. What I realized was if I actually proactively sit down and sit next to my husband who gets to watch sports in the evening while someone cooks his dinner, if I sit down, even just 5 minutes, like dinner can wait, that's what actually helps me feel relaxed. So that was really helpful to pivot my thought. And then I realized that it is a gift to myself to have an alcohol-free night. Like I actually feel so much better the next day. My brain at 4:37 is like, oh hell no, that does not feel good. I want to have alcohol. But the next day, my brain's like, oh thank God, I feel so much better that I didn't have it. So I can remind myself that having tea instead of alcohol is a gift I give myself. And so these are pivots. Instead of the, alcohol is my reward, it's more like tea is actually really a great gift to myself. And so those were ways that I pivoted my stories. And then step five is practice. I realized that one of my new action steps could simply be the act of writing down my lessons learned each day. And so I could just, cement that because I would find that was like earlier in this week, I had a like aha moment, but I don't remember what it was. And so I realized that by rewriting my lessons learned, that helped me and will continue to help me kind of cement those lessons learned. So we've already got some folks who have raised their hand, which is amazing. So we're not going to go through a like super deep dive into the deep dive assessment, but I will put it back here, the link in the chat to the deep dive. And so if you need help figuring out like what is the thing I want to work on? The deep dive assessment will absolutely help you. And let me go ahead and write those five-step processes again. Once again, it's the what's the main obstacle? Brainstorm some action steps to help you work on that obstacle. Step number three is go deeper. What's your story? Step number four, pivot that story. And step number five is practice. All right. We got a couple of questions here. So Valerie says, "Hi, Coach Lizzie." Hey, Valerie. I'm so glad you're here. She says, "I'm currently captaining the struggle bus with no co-pilot." I love the way you phrase that. And I thought I'd try asking for help today. I'm visiting my parents. My mother is driving me insane with her moodiness, and I'm PMSing hard right now, and so is my wife. So it's like a hen party from hell. A hen party from hell up in this bitch. I hear you, Valerie. I keep having failure days one after another. I sneak eat. I eat way past enough. And finally, yesterday, I binged and purged for the first time in many years. How do I get off this fuck a train?" Valerie, I'm so glad and so grateful you asked this question. Thank you so much. So, first thing you need to do is offer yourself some compassion. Like, you're in a challenging situation, and everyone experiences challenging things. And beating yourself up over it is only going to continue the cycle. And so oftentimes there's a lot of shame involved in binge behavior with sneak eating, that type of thing. And your ego wants to tell you that you're the problem. And the ego wants your ego wants to tell you that you're to blame. Because here's the thing, your ego is lying to you, but it feels safe to say, "I'm to blame, I'm the problem," because that's familiar. And when there's no great outlet for when you're feeling disappointed or frustrated, the only safe person to turn to in those moments is yourself. The only person to beat on is right here. And I mean, there's no recourse for beating yourself up, like compared to like taking it out on your wife or your mom. And so it feels really familiar. And it feels sometimes better than doing nothing because, beating up on yourself feels like I mean, at least doing something. But here's the thing. Beating up on yourself is literally what keeps us stuck. You cannot beat yourself into different actions, different habits, different thinking. Beating yourself up does the opposite. It keeps you in the same cycle. And so you can only move into different actions and different thinking and different habits when your brain and body feel safe enough to do so. And safety starts on the inside with kindness and compassion, forgiveness and love. So that is absolutely the first step, is some self-kindness, some self-compassion. How would you treat a friend who is experiencing exactly what you're feeling? And then take that a little bit further. Let's imagine you were having coffee with a friend who was saying, "My mom is driving me crazy. I am PMSing like crazy, and so is my wife. And I'm stuck here for however many days that you're visiting your parents. What do I do next?" And so, what would you tell a friend, Valerie? I know for me, if I was sitting across the coffee table from you, Valerie, and you and I were having coffee and you were telling me everything, I'd say, "Well, what's one thing that might make you feel better? What's one thing that's within your control that can give you a sense of like, at least I'm doing something? Maybe it's go for a walk. Maybe it's have a glass of water. Maybe it's take a nap." The food, when you say like, "I keep having failure days one after another and I sneak and so forth," the food is a way to escape your feelings, which I get it. Like, if mom's driving you crazy and you're PMSing like crazy, like, yeah, feelings, it's like, no, thank you. However, know that there's a valid reason why you're behaving this way. It's because your brain is like, "I want to do anything except feel what I'm feeling." So that's the root cause. So again, if we're going back to our like couple step process, if you want to kind of brainstorm some action steps of things you could do, you could go for a walk. You could have a glass of water. You could have a vegetable, whatever you want. You could, aim for one meal a day to stop it enough. But if we take it deeper, step three, what's the story? What's going on underneath the surface is that your brain is turning to food to avoid how you're feeling. And if you're looking for a way to pivot that, here's another little action step you can take. It's a two-step process. When you want to sneak eat, or when you, hell, even do this at 8 o'clock in the morning, anytime you try this, it's very helpful. Step one, what am I feeling? And any answer is okay. I'm feeling pissed off and angry and bitter at my mom. No guilt. You're allowed to feel that way. So what am I feeling? I'm feeling pissed off. Step two, here's where the magic is. I am allowed to feel that way. I don't have to fix it. I don't even have to know why I'm feeling that way. I'm allowed to feel pissed off and I don't have to fix it. And you just sit with that for 10 seconds, maybe 30. What it does is it alleviates some of that pressure cooker of your feelings to allow that pressure and temperature to just relax a little. And then when you want to go to the pantry and sneak eat, maybe you end up having a little less. Maybe you're like, I ended up fuck it eating, but I didn't fuck it eat as much. Or I caught myself midway because I was allowing myself to address the root cause, the root issue, which is I'm feeling a lot of feels and they feel overwhelming. And the food is what's kind of masking over that. So let me know what your thoughts are on that, Valerie. I hope that helped. Be safe. Enjoy the rest of your visit with your parents. And just know that, if you're kind of afraid to feel your feelings, you are in good company. And just like dipping your pinky toe into that water of, what am I feeling? I'm allowed to feel that way. I don't have to fix it. I don't even have to know why. I'm allowed to feel whatever it is. 10 seconds. Just let a little pressure off that. Okay. Whitney says, you're saying the process is the win, not the scale, just to clarify. Yes. Yes, Whitney. Exactly. Oh, I'm so glad you brought this up. The scale, how much you weigh, it's not a goal. It's not. It's an outcome. The scale is a result. How much you weigh is an outcome. It is the actions you take that are within your control that are the win. Focus on the actions that will lead to the outcome you want, and the outcome will take care of itself. Make your actions the win. Such a great question. Thank you for asking that. Okay, let's have some coaching. Susan, let's have you come on up and let's do some coaching. Yep, the scale is an outcome and it is a result, it's not a goal. So focus on the action steps that will help you make progress towards the outcome you want. Make your actions the win that allows you to feel successful and feel like you're making progress along the way. So Susan is up. I'm asking you to unmute and start your video. Hey, Susan, I know you.
Yes. Well, this was perfect timing for me.
Great.
Good topic. So what I want to do is I've been wanting to get into journaling, and then I heard that the topic for March is journaling, and I'm like, great, I'm going to embrace this and do this. But I have said that many times when I hear a topic, I'm like, that's perfect for me. And then I just never get started. You know what I mean? I listen to the podcast in my car a lot, so I'm not like home with my computer, where I can. So I this time I want to, follow along with the month. I really want to do this and start journaling regularly but I also want to I just want to I kind of want to do everything that No BS does this month with journaling, I guess.
Okay.
And I don't want, but sometimes, like, I'm super excited now. And yes, last night I looked for information. It still had the February stuff. And sometimes that happens. And then by the time it's up, I'm at work or whatever, you know what I mean? And
Yeah.
I just never do it. So I'm trying to think of things I can do to make sure that I'm aware, for one thing, of what's available when it comes out, and then also that I do it in a meaningful way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's participate in a meaningful way and try to do everything they suggest. And so that's my goal for March. And I just want to figure out a way to make sure I actually still am as pumped about this tomorrow as I am today.
Right. Okay. So I think that we can talk about like some tangible action steps as well as some sort of high level mindsets to maybe keep in mind throughout the 31 days of March. So you want to start with tangible action steps? Does that work?
And one thing I thought is to have some reminder on my phone. I'm thinking tomorrow there will be content available, like maybe a worksheet type thing or something.
Yeah,
So
so
some
it'll
reminder on my phone to check.
Yes. So it should show up in the this month and no BS, which I will let's see, I'll put up in the link into sorry in the chat. So tomorrow, what is on this month and no BS, instead of February, it'll be March's content. And so that'll have the welcome from the coaches, that'll have the workbook, and the journal prompts, and like, here's what we're doing this month. So great idea. You could put a reminder in your phone, maybe an appointment in your calendar of like, you know, at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning, the first, I'm going to go to nobs.com/thismonthinnobs and check out the, you know, download the workbook, whatever it is. So, and bonus tip, you could put a recurring reminder in your calendar for the first of every month to go to that link and figure out what's, you know, what's this month's topic. So there's an idea.
So that gets me started. So then, and usually, the first day I'm super into it and do the workbook, and then it kind of fades away. So I guess I'm looking for ways to kind of, I know what's the thing? The thing Corinne says about how you don't need to be motivated every day. So I guess ways to encourage myself to keep doing it throughout the month, to keep up, to keep up throughout the month.
Okay. Lots of different options there. You could, you know, ha set up something with your accountability buddy,
Great
and
idea.
say, hey, accountability buddy, this is something that I personally want to work on this month, whether you do or not, that's great. But like, could we set a reminder on the 10th and then again on the 20th for you to check in with me and ask me how it's going?
That's a great idea.
Let's see. Other ways to stay motivated. If there are things that you know right now, like you're feeling fired up right now, same thing. You could put a reminder in your phone or a calendar appointment in your calendar for like future Susan, that she's sort of lost her motivation a little bit. Today, Susan can remind her, hey, this is how I'm feeling today. I'm really excited about this because fill in the blank, and like have it come to you on the 10th, the 15th, the 25th. Other things you can do is keep track. And so give yourself proof of your progress by like get a check mark each day when you engage in journaling at all. And again, that goes back to like lots of different action steps. You have lots of different ways to win. So maybe just reading a journaling prompt counts. Maybe thinking in your head counts. Maybe doing a voice, you know, journal into a note on your phone counts. So like allow lots of different things to count to give you credit. And so then over the course of the month, if you like get a check mark, just as I said with, you know, the drinking less alcohol, you can get check marks for more than one thing. And so over the course of 31
I like
days,
check marks. Check marks are very
yes.
motivating. Yeah.
You and I have similar brains. It's like, give me that gold star.
So that's good because that's a lot of stuff I can do right now to when I have this energy and motivation. So that's great. I'm gonna do this right now.
Amazing. If you want to like supercharge it, you could challenge yourself. This is a little bit of vulnerability, but you could say, you could post in Facebook, say, hello, no BS ladies. Here's my goal for this month. I am challenging myself to check in Facebook at least twice a week till March 31st. And if you don't see me, you know, please ask me how I'm doing, or that kind of thing. And like, so, again, that's totally an option, not required, because that can feel a little vulnerable. But by putting it something out publicly, that can help you be like, well, someone's expecting me to do something, so I guess I got to show up, that kind of thing.
I like all those ideas.
Fantastic.
Thank
Okay.
you very much.
Thank you too. And you know, I'm going to put a note in my calendar since I happen to know you, Susan, to check in with you towards the end of the month and see how it went.
Right. Perfect.
Yay!
Okay.
Awesome. Thank you for raising your hand.
Thank you.
All right, great. We're going to have Audrey come on up next. Let's see. There we go. Change to attendee and promote to panelist. Wow, y'all, it's been a minute since I've done the whole like promote to panelist thing. It seems to be working. Whew. Thank goodness. Hi, Audrey. I'm so happy to see you again.
I think you may have answered all my questions already, but let me just think this out loud. So I stayed, and I'm just going to tell my numbers because it's easier.
Perfect.
I stayed at 245 from camp until like 2 weeks ago, not moving at all. Listen to the whatever, the ditch the scale again.
Yeah.
Went through all that. Bit the bullet, signed up for private coaching. I've met with Lisa twice.
Great.
Week one, I lost 2.5 pounds. This week, I gained 5.
Oh.
So think in my mind, I thought private coaching was going to be the answer, and I'm going to watch the scale go woo. So this morning I have been beside myself. Now I've recently diagnosed with RA, so it could be, all inflammation. I'm not worried that I'm gonna, be up 20 pounds. I'm not worried about that. It's just the fluctuation is fluctuating up instead of down. So instead of going from 240 to 245, I'm now going 245 to 250.
Okay.
So I'm a little scared. I knew that I needed to journal, so I used the old habit tracker to make up my own. Look how many I got done in journals in February. Zero.
Okay, I see.
So I'm really thankful that's the new thing. I'm going back with my lab coat. I think I came up with the data. My daughter was in the hospital twice. We had a lot going on, so there's just no telling.
Ooh.
But that's going to always be the case. She has a disease. That's going to always be the case. So it's just life, But I look back and I see whenever I had dessert that I would plan, I didn't stop it enough. I don't remember. I think it was Lisa that told me, okay, you want chocolate? Eat the chocolate first, only when you're hungry. So I did that maybe too much last week.
Okay.
Like I ate one meal. My meal was lava cake.
Okay. Well, first I'd love to speak to the how common and how you're not alone that like I went into private coaching and I thought the scale was going to go down and wow, that didn't happen. So,
Yet.
I use this analogy that like sometimes we view weight loss like a Disney movie. That the Disney princess, she's like, if only I could find the right guy, and the right guy comes along, and she's like, ah, and if they just kiss, and then it's all just like happily ever after, ah, and we think that weight loss is going to be that way. Like, if I could just find the thing to help me figure this out, then it's going to be like ah, and happily ever after, and just like in the Disney movie, it's about relationships. Like in real life. Real relationships are not like the Disney princess movies. They take practice, they take effort, they take communication, they take some tears sometimes, some screwing up and making amends and like, figuring things out. And so real healthy relationships don't look like the Disney movies. Real healthy weight loss does not look like this is the thing. It's like, no, it's what's real is like it takes communication, it takes practice, it takes screw ups, it takes steps backwards. That is very normal. It's about like building that partnership and communication with yourself. And private coaching is a way to help you unveil or like reveal some of the things underneath to help you accelerate you creating that partnership with yourself.
Well, and I think maybe I need to make the action steps and quit working, looking at the scale as the, so what you said, it's an outcome and
Yeah.
not an action. So I think that will help. And I also think the journaling will help. I used to journal everything all the time, but now that I'm in OBS, I open the page and I'm stuck. No one's grading my paper. I don't know why I'm not journaling. I don't have a reason. So I do know that that is a key, an action step key.
And only other thing I wanted to ask was, do you think if I just go back and think of February winds, that will help with the today surprise? Like my rheumatologist wants me to reduce my amount of diet sodas. So instead of 90 ounces of this a day, you see how tall this little wonderful thing is. I'm doing like 30 ounces a day, and like that's a huge win. But he
Yes.
also said, and the weight will come off. Yeah, I have all these magic, I know this up here, but I think somewhere in the back of my mind, I did this, it didn't move. I did this, it didn't move. And I'm not married to the scale, but I get on it every day because it does fluctuate so that I'm not, caught off guard too bad.
I hear what you're saying. And the scale can be a tricky thing. Like it can absolutely get in our heads, and it can be the scale went up, it's a reason to eat. The scale went down, it's a reason to eat. So the scale is a tool in your weight loss toolbox. If you're able to view it as information that is helping you measure, then that's great. If it is getting in your head and wrecking your day, then I would, I would treat this lightly, but like you could even explore taking a month off from the scale and legit make your progress about those action steps. About, I drank 30 ounces, not ounces. What is
Yeah, 30 ounces of diet soda as opposed to 90 ounces.
Okay. So that's a check in the box. I drank 30 or less today. Check in the box. I journaled today. Check in the box. I stopped at enough. Check in the box. Or like, I tuned in and asked myself the question, am I still hungry? Check in the box. Like, if you, again, I'm not saying don't weigh yourself in March. Like some people, I weigh myself every day because it is a useful, kind of gauge. But if it's really wrecking your progress and your mindset, it is totally okay to take a break. But either way, the scale is just a tool in your weight loss toolbox. It is it's like a calculator. A calculator is a piece of plastic and metal that gives us a number. So is a scale. The problem is the story we tell ourselves about the number that the scale tells us. Meanwhile, a calculator number, we don't make that mean anything. So for you, Audrey, for this next coming month, what are a handful of action steps? Well, let me back up. Let's take us through the big process, through the whole process. If you were to only focus on one thing, one obstacle, what is one obstacle that you want to focus on for the month of March?
I want to be feel safe to have sweets in the house. I don't want to say, like we had company last night, so I made brownies, okay? And I ate way too many of them. Why can't I just eat one brownie and put the rest in baggies and leave them there? I want to feel safe around sweets to stop.
Amazing. Okay. So in this case, the obstacle getting in the way of your weight loss is I don't feel safe around sweets. Therefore, I overeat them. Okay. So that's the obstacle. Now we get to brainstorm a whole bunch of ideas that could help you feel more comfortable and more safe around sweets. Do you have a couple of ideas?
Well, the baggie has worked in the past. Put it in a snack bag and put it in, everything has a place in the house. And so putting it in the snack pantry versus leaving the dessert out covered on aluminum foil on top of the stove to see where every time you walk by, that has helped before. And I don't know, maybe, I went through this thing of, well, let's just don't have any. And I felt so deprived. So then I added, let's just plan for chocolate. Let's just plan, but stop. So that's the issue.
Okay, Audrey, I'm going to rapid fire a couple of ideas at you. I see you're taking notes, which is great, but we're also, of course, going to have the replay, so you can go back and listen to the replay. So for anybody who's listening who like wants to work on a type of food or a specific thing that they want to have less of, here are some ideas. So number one, you could enjoy that food with a Fuck a Foods worksheet. That's an action step. You could, just as you said, you could portion size it. So you put it in baggies, or you could like serve yourself less of it. That's an action step. You could ask yourself after the first serving, am I still hungry? Just asking the question gets a check mark. You could also ask yourself, why am I having more? you could ask yourself, do I like my reasons? Any like a, each question you ask yourself gets a check mark. Do I like my reasons for having seconds? And even if the answer is no and you have seconds, like you still made progress. That was still better than being like, I can't tell. I'm fuck it. I'm just eating it. Like you're bringing more awareness. This is progress. If you wanted to have a day where you delayed, like I want to see if I could have not have a sweet today. You could put some things in the way. Like with my example of drinking, you could have a mint. You could chew some gum. You could have some tea instead. You could go for a walk. You could journal. All of these things count as check in the box. Or if you want to put some space between you and serving number two or serving number three, same thing. Like I had my first portion of treat. And before I have my second one, I could journal. I could have some gum. I could have some tea. I could do a lap around the room and just give myself a little space. The pause is a win. Such a win there. So I don't know how many that was, but that was 10-ish action steps. And like you could just make yourself a chart. Basically, what I did for, it looks like you might have one right there.
I'm thinking habit tracker, just
Sure.
similar to habit tracker.
Yeah. If you give me a second, I will share my screen and show you. Oh, look at that. I can. Where is it? Okay. If I share my screen, this was my chart for my alcohol experiment. And I said be free because I wanted to create freedom instead of like I'm instead of focusing on what I don't want, I'm focusing on what I do want. I want freedom. So as you can see, it's just very plain couple of boxes. And so, and I also don't have it Monday through Friday. I have it day one, day two, day three, because if I miss a day, oh well, just start out where I went. You know, there is no starting again at zero. So, and then here's my action steps. And so each, you know, I fill it out by hand, but like if I did one of these things, I get a check mark. So that's just an example of my little personal thing. So what are your thoughts from this so far?
That I need to re-listen to everything you just said when it comes out. Yes, I do think I'm glad I'm off today to hear this call because I
Okay.
need to remember that imperfect progress is progress.
Oh, yes. Put that on a banner, write it on your mirror. Yes. Yes. And if you focus on the action is the win. So like you get a win for drinking a glass of water between serving one and serving two. I guarantee you, will you have like perfect freedom around sweets in a month? No. But you'll feel better. You will have made progress. You will have maybe have had 10% fewer sweets in the month of March than you did in February. And that's progress. That's a win. How are you feeling?
Thank you. Much better. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Oh, I'm so glad that you raised your hand today. It's great to see you
Me
again.
too.
All right, great. Okay, I think we got Holly coming up next. Let's see. Attendee and panelist. Imperfect progress for sure. Okay. As we're waiting for Holly, Yolanda said, please could you help me work through the thought I'm stuck at this weight? I set a weight loss goal for the month and ended up gaining instead of losing. I think the number is triggering for me. Also, the whole nothing is off limits is causing me to trip up, and I'm finding that I'm eating more sweet things. Okay. So when you're feeling stuck at a weight, again, like try and recognize that the scale is a outcome, it's a result, it's not a goal in itself. And so what are the action steps that are you know, creating your results? And the idea of sweets is tripping you up. And so same kind of thing, I would encourage you that like if you're feeling like you can't trust yourself around specific kinds of foods, try having that food with a Fuck a Foods worksheet. Or if you're like, I can't even, you know, that in itself makes me feel a little anxious, which, you know, I like waited months before I tried a Fuck a Foods worksheet because I was afraid that the Fuck a Foods worksheet was going to make me not like my favorite foods. And I was like, I was afraid. So I get that. I see you. If that's your thing, it's okay to set up your environment to not have some of those foods for a little while. It's not diet mentality if you're trying to help yourself just feel safer. But going back real quick, Yolanda, to you ended up gaining weight. Chances are there's some overeats happening. So here's a quick experiment you could try. Ready? Take 1 week. Count up the number of overeats you have over the course of a week. For the record, an overeat is anytime you eat when you're not hungry, whether or not it's on your plan. Anytime you eat past enough, whether or not it's on your plan. Count them up. Honestly, it's easier if you have more because then you have lots of room to work with. So just take 1 week, baseline number, no judgment whatsoever. This is data. So let's say you get 20 overeats in a week. Great. So good to know. Now, instead of being like, I felt like I did okay, you're like, I know exactly how many overeats I had. I had 20. Next week, instead of being like, I feel like I was really good, now you count up how many overeats am I aiming for? Am I aiming for 18? And like, don't go from 20 to 9. Like, give yourself a little bit of wiggle room, but like, have a specific number so your data can help you. Okay. Holly, hello.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hopefully you can hear me okay. I'm on my iPad and I've never done that with this. So
I can hear you great. Great to meet you.
so I'm not 100% sure what I want, but a little history is I probably lost about 40 pounds with no BS. And in the past year-ish, I've gained back probably 20.
Okay.
And in that time, kind of like didn't plan. And so now in the past 2 months, like January, I've planned. And pretty much every day. So yay me for that.
Yeah, nice.
I think I have, like, when it comes to planning and doing things like that, I almost have perfectionist paralysis kind of thing. I want to make sure I'm doing it exactly right. And, you know, do I write down my sleep from last night on today's, or do I go back a day and write, you know, stuff like that. And then, so I just wanted to maybe go through the sheets. I'm coming up with trends of where I need help, and I can tell you can't wait for April.
Nighttime meeting.
although journaling, I don't do journaling at all, you know, maybe a day here and there. So I don't know. Just little guidance to maybe go through what I'm coming up with and ideas of, I don't know. I know that leave two bites and all that. I don't do things like that, but I'm a little stalled. Like this week, it was down 0.2, which I should be happy because down is down, right? but it wasn't the down one that I really wanted. And
Okay,
so.
cool. If it's okay, I'd love to just have a couple of quick thoughts on some things you said, and then I'd love to hear about
Awesome.
your data and
Of course.
we can action steps. So, thoughts on I've perfectionist ideas around planning. You're not alone for sure. And I love the shift in that is in the new No BS modules, which is the purpose of the plan is not to follow the plan. The purpose of the plan is to think. And so you get to decide what planning, how to make it work for you. And so if you made a plan for Monday and it turns out that a friend asked you out for lunch, that doesn't mean, well, crap, my plan is wrecked. It means, okay, now I get to think. I had planned, a sandwich and a salad for lunch, but now my friend asked me to go out. And so how can I pivot in a way that I feel good about and I like my reasons? I feel super snacky this afternoon. I don't know why. Do I like my reasons? Maybe not, but at least I can use the fact that I went off plan as an opportunity to be like, why? What was going on today? Oh, wow. Yeah. Like mom called at 10 o'clock and I was really upset about that conversation. And, so I had more emotions going on. And so the purpose of the plan is not to follow the plan, the purpose of the plan is to think.
Well, and I don't know that, like, really following the plan isn't my issue.
Okay.
Sometimes I almost feel like I'm a little, like, for example, today, I don't really have a clue. I sort of know what my day is going to be. And I might be out and about later if I get things here done. And so lots of times I'll write doable hunger or protein, starch, veggie. When it comes to snacks, I write down everything that I might want. And so I don't feel like following the plan is my perfectionist hang up. It's
how I'm looking at the data, how I whether I'm writing the data down right, things like it's that
Okay.
sort of little thing. But the I will most of the time write what I'm planning to eat. Like breakfast, it's always yogurt, fruit, granola. Ooh, that's it. Maybe weekends it's different, but so that kind of thing I'm very lax on actually, as far as writing the
Okay.
foods. And I would say I usually follow what I write down, because I do leave it open when I don't know what I'm going to be having, like if I'm going to run errands or something.
So where would you say your challenges are then? And thank you for clarifying that.
Okay. Well, for planning, I guess I don't know. Just being aware or allowing myself to feel like no matter how I do it, it's right. Or, not to stop planning just because I don't know whether I should be writing down last night's sleep today or, that little
Yeah.
kind of thing. But when it comes to weight loss, my data is showing me that supper, like I'm pretty locked in on breakfast, hunger and enough. I'm pretty locked in on lunch, even especially weekdays, hunger and enough. But when it comes to supper, that's where I overeat the most. And then the after supper, the 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock ice cream or dessert. And I know most of the time I'm not hungry. Like during the day, hunger, my cue is my stomach's growling. Or I start thinking about food all the time and maybe it's time for lunch kind of thing. Supper, it's more of I'm usually hungry for supper because when I get home from work, I'm usually hungry. But that after supper, I know I'm not hungry. And sometimes I say, well, I think I'm hungry. And then I have my after supper dessert,
Okay.
and the same with stopping at enough. I feel like maybe I should be stopping at earlier than where I'm at, because when I sit down and start to do my assessment, it's like, oh yeah, I stopped at, well, did I stop at enough? I probably felt a little bit past enough, but not full. So I kind of rationalize that.
Okay, so I think what I'm hearing you say is that your main obstacles are stopping at enough at dinner and nighttime eatings. Oh, sorry.
Cool.
Stopping at enough at dinner and then nighttime snacking. Does
Yes,
that
I would
summarize
agree.
it? Okay. As always, you get to be in charge. So you could decide I'm going to focus on two things over the course of the month, but I'm always a fan of simplify. So I would encourage you to focus on just one of those things. So let me ask you this. With the food that you're eating after dinner, is there a part of your brain that's like, I will give that up over my dead body? Like that is my thing. I really, really want it.
Usually it's the lack of, well, I know there's a thought in there somewhere, but usually it's like, let's go get some ice cream. And it's even not like I've never been one to sit down and eat the whole container or anything, but it's every single night. It's a habit. So no, it's definitely not over my dead body. I need to eat this, or it's not that. It's
Okay.
either I pretend I don't even acknowledge it and just have it, or and I do think it, I know somewhere in here I'm saying, you don't really need this tonight.
Okay.
So
So part of my question was, if we could probably assume that you're not hungry for something after dinner if you've had dinner. But sometimes our brains really want a dessert. Our brains want something. And so if that is the case, is there a way to plan for that by either having it first with dinner or having less at dinner so that you have kind of room later, that kind of thing? So if you were to pick one, what would feel easier to focus on for the month of March? Stopping at enough at dinner or your after dinner eating?
good Lord. I want to say stopping at enough at dinner. There have been times that I'll say, okay, one night this week I'm not going to eat after dinner. And I've been pretty successful with that. But Yeah, I mean, it's probably dinner overeating.
Okay, so let's just imagine if your after dinner eating stayed exactly the same for the month of March, but you were able to reduce your overeats at dinner. How much of an impact would that make, do you think?
I think it would have an impact. I don't know if it would be, it would definitely have an impact because I'm eating less,
All right. Okay.
less
So
food.
here we're kind of narrowing it down. It sounds like a good option, not necessarily, you don't have to do this, but a good option could be leave your nighttime snacking alone, let it be what it is, and then let's just narrow in on stopping it enough at dinner for the month of March. Sound okay?
Yeah, I think that's a good plan.
Awesome. Okay. So we've identified the obstacle. Next is brainstorm some action steps. So, what are some ideas you could try to help you be aware of enough and then begin to stop it enough at dinner?
Well, I think serving less would be good,
Great.
would be very helpful for me. Because our habit is dinners on the couch watching TV. I mean, that's life here. So maybe one day a week eating at the table. I don't know how realistic that is, but it could be something to try. Serving less for sure. I could probably set a timer for, I don't know, 10 minutes. I feel like I could have supper done because it's not like we have a huge supper. So I don't know what a reasonable amount of time is to set to stop and think kind of thing.
Okay.
Something like that. I have tried Bites Behind. I'm not very good at that, honestly. I get carried away before there's Bites Behind
Right.
or before, and I know I get a sigh when I've had enough. I have a sigh.
Okay.
Do I try to suppress the sigh? Absolutely.
Yeah.
So maybe listening to the sigh would be a good thing and not trying to get in two or three more bites before I really know, yeah, I just sighed, kind of thing.
Great. Holly, amazing. Okay. So just like the previous person we were speaking to, I want you to re-listen to this coaching call so that you can write down not only the action steps that you just listed, but some that I'm going to offer you as well. Sound like a plan?
Okay, sure.
So you suggested serve yourself less. By the way, I am so with you. I do not like leaving bites behind. I
Yeah.
want to clean my plate. And so I get around that by starting with less, and then I don't have to worry about it. I can clean my plate. Starting with less. And you can even experiment with, my normal serving size is this. I'm going to start with 3/4 and just assume I'm good. If I get hungry later, I can always go back for more, but just like, let's just assume that's enough. Let's just see what happens. And like, I very much want to encourage you to think, let's just see what happens. Try to avoid thinking this is only the amount that I get because that feels really restrictive. Instead, be
Well,
like,
it does because it's like, oh my gosh, I can only eat this little bit to lose weight or even maintain. And I
right.
don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your brain may offer you some of those thoughts. And if it does, just pivot to, I'm going to see what happens. I'm going to try this. And if I'm still hungry in 30 minutes, I can totally eat more. Just
I could have ice cream.
let ice cream. Right. So I love the idea of serving less. You mentioned timing. An idea you could try is a bite timer. So there are apps out there. Slow Eats app is one that I've heard of that can help you like time your bites. So particularly if you're watching TV, it's easy to get distracted.
Right.
Just use the timer of like, have your phone with you and try and slow down your eating. That's an action step. You said that you noticed the sigh. You could take a couple of days to just catalog what are my enough signals. The sigh is one. Getting distracted could be one. Getting bored could be one. Looking for best bites could be one. A lot of times, our first enough signals are mental. They're not physical. So making the list of your enough signals could be an action step. Reviewing your enough signals before you start eating could be an action step. Just be like,
Oh,
oh,
yeah.
helpful reminder. If I notice the sigh, oh, here's another enough signal that a lot of clients have told me is I start eating fast because I know my like part of my back of my brain knows I'm at enough, but I want to like eat it, get it in quick before.
100%. Yeah.
So if you notice yourself wanting to like finish it real quick, that's a signal. You could explore, like, let's say you notice that I had the sigh, but there's still food on my plate that I want to eat. You could stand up from the couch and put your plate on the counter for a minute. That could be an action step and be like, of course you can go back for those other bites, but you're just going to see. Remember, as I was telling Audrey, the win is in the pause. It's just allowing another extra second for your thinking brain to get into the discussion rather than just your lower impulsive brain being like, I'm in charge here. There's a couple of ideas in the chat. There's drink water, use your opposite hand while you're eating, put your fork down between bites. If you mentioned sitting on the couch watching a show, you could gamify it. Like, depends on the show. I don't know if it has breaks or commercials. You could pause during commercials or only eat during commercials.
Well, then I'd way overeat because that's all there is.
That's true. Good point. That's a very good point. Yeah, pause during the commercials and be like, oh my God, this commercial's so long. depending on what you're watching, you could be like, every time they talk about topic, I pause and put my fork down. Like, I don't know, let's say it's a murder show, and like every time the topic of a handgun comes up, I'll put my fork
Yeah.
down. I don't know. You could get really creative with it.
All right.
So yeah, and you could even put into Facebook and say, hey everyone, my challenge that I've given my challenge, like as a fun thing, like my scavenger hunt for the month of March is to help me stop at enough at dinner. Here are some of my ideas. Can you help me brainstorm some other ideas to help me with my kind of brainstorm of action steps? Okay, so that was step two, lots of action steps. Step three is, let's go a little deeper. Why don't you want to stop it enough?
Great question. I, sometimes it's, oh, it's so good. I don't know. I mean, I, when they, when we talk about others, it's like, oh, it's my only time to relax. Pretty much when, by the time we eat supper, that's it for the rest of the night. That's our relaxed time. So maybe it's boredom. I don't know. But I knit, so after supper I pick up my knitting and but maybe it's boredom with the routine. It could be too. So and that's where maybe bringing it out to the table one night a week
Oh yeah, there was another action step you had
and
said.
forcing my husband to play cribbage or something while we eat. I could be.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know if I can come up with the why do I want to overeat. Sometimes it is definitely like I'm a good cook. I like to cook. So
Okay.
the food is good.
Okay, well, let's go with that one for now. Let's say that's it. It tastes really good. And so this, anybody who's listening, like if that this is yours as well, or like you have something like this is something you can bring to ask coaches and have a discussion about it. For us, something tastes really good. You can remind yourself, let's pivot. Like, yes, and it will taste good tomorrow if I put it away and have it for lunch tomorrow. The more bites I have right now, like it's diminishing returns. Like I taste it less with each bite. I like to think of the idea of a luxury that like sometimes eating amazing, delicious food is a luxury. And with a luxury, you want the right amount. Like more is not always better with luxury. It's just more is more. For example, a great haircut. More is not better. The right
Yeah,
amount is
sure.
better.
That's true.
Or like a massage. More, to a certain extent, could be better. But like, maybe a 90-minute massage is better than a 60-minute. But a 3-hour massage, you'd be like, I'm getting bruised here by now. Like it's too much. A pedicure, same thing. The longer your feet soak in the whatever the stuff is, I don't do pedicures, but like it would be bad. Like, so more is just more, it's not better. And so you can
Yeah, good
treat
point.
that with food. Like the more I eat of it, it's just more. Like the luxury is being present with it. And then you go back to a thing I said a minute ago, is like it's gonna be just as good tomorrow for lunch. So there's some thoughts.
Yeah. Good thoughts.
And then practice. I would encourage you to, you, I You mentioned you're not much of a journaler. I so identify with that. And I would just encourage you to explore the idea of maybe for the month of March, I could aim to write out, this pivot thought that more isn't better, it's just more, and it's going to taste really great tomorrow. Write that to myself maybe 4 times out of 31. Or, just as many times as I think to remember it, as like I'm helping to remind myself, this is a mental pivot that I want to move towards rather than thinking it's restriction to stop it enough.
Yeah. Well, and I do plan on following the March journaling challenge or whatever it is, because I lots of times think, I don't have the, I don't overeat because my parents made me eat. If anything, it's because my mother was a horrible cook and now I enjoy eating. I don't have those things. So I always think, oh, I don't really have any thoughts. Why bother journaling? I don't think that's true, but so we'll see this month how it goes. If I journal 2 times a week, that's way more than I do now. So
And if journaling is just reminding yourself of a thought you want to remember or a lesson learned, that counts.
yeah, okay. Well, and I always kind of say, well, planning was always journaling because you wrote down a lot in the planner. And so yeah, like I said, I don't know if this was a planning question or anything, but it's helpful.
Fantastic. Well, Holly, thank you so much for raising your hand. I
All
appreciate
right.
it.
Thank you.
Thank you. And everyone who is still here, thank you for hanging on with us for a couple extra minutes. I appreciate you all being here. It's been such a delight to get to spend some of your Friday with you. Thank you for the opportunity. If you have any questions, bring it on to Ask Coaches. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day. And here we come, March. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.